sorry. Good luck. I don't know where it is, to be honest. Are we on? Yeah. Okay, say our limud of Chofetz Chaim is the Schus Refuah Shleima for Yosef Dov Ben Chayla, Shtav Refuah Shleima, Bekorev, Sosho Chayla Yisrael. So the Chofetz Chaim has told us that somebody who is an apikoyos, you're allowed to speak Lashon Hara about him, you're allowed to make fun of him, you're allowed to tell lies about him, I think. It says it's a mitzvah to speak derogatorily of an apikoreus, to publicize his wickedness.
Sorry, did you say allowed to tell lies about him?
Well, I was wondering about that, whether or not you're allowed to tell lies as well. If you're allowed to make fun, I don't know. At the moment he's saying it's a mitzvah, that's why I was looking at the Loshon here, a mitzvah to speak derogatorily of an apikoreus, to publicize his wickedness, so the innocent would know to keep their distance. Yeah. But he says that although you're allowed to speak badly and you're allowed to tell Lashon Hara and Rechilus about an apikoreus, nevertheless, you have to be careful as to the question of who is an apikoreus. And today, that's a much harder question than it used to be. Once upon a time, the Gemara says, Eilavorim, how to say? Then the Mishnah lists out Ve'elu She'en Lohem Chelik Lohem Abo, and the Mishnah finishes off in the list of those who don't have a Chelik Lohem Abo, Vohu Apikoreus. Freit Gemara Maya Apikoreus, says the Gemara, Hoime Maya Hanalon Rabbonon. What do we have from all the people who are sitting in Yeshiva? What do we have from all the people who are sitting and learning in Koilel? They're no use to us there. They're not doing anything constructive. So that itself already is a definition of an apikoreus. This man was there, once upon a time, I think, it was easier to say a person was a tinnish nishba before the age of communications. Today, I think every Israeli knows what a charedi is.
No.
You know, no, they don't?
Some don't know how to say Shema.
No, they don't know how to say Shema, but they know what it is. They see that on television. They see that all the time. But they think
wearing black clothes. It's all they know anything else.
They don't know anything else. Okay, fine.
Generalization.
Also, of course, they're brought up to think, yeah? All their lives. In their homes, in their schools, and with the people that they mixed, etc., etc. They've always been brought up to think that the Haredim are some sort of...
They start with a prejudice.
They start with a prejudice, right? So maybe that's their Tinuk Shenishba. They are Tinuk Shenishba in that they've been brought up with these deos, with these opinions. And therefore he says, the Chofetz Chaim says at the end, that he's very worried that people will use the heter of an apikoyos, yeah, to speak Lashon Hara about everybody. Yeah, they'll say, he's an apikoyos. Yeah, he says they'll be claiming that once I've defined Pliny as an apikoyos, because he holds my Hanalon Rabbonon, or because he holds that, you know, Haredim are terrible people, etc., etc., and he doesn't accept the Torah, and he doesn't believe in the Torah. And the Chofetz Chaim defined an apikoreus as somebody who doesn't accept even one mitzvah, which is learned through the Shlosh Yisri Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes Bahem. Therefore, if somebody accepts 612 mitzvahs, he's an apikoreus, because he doesn't accept the 13th as Torah Min HaShemayim. So he says he's worried that people will say that there are a lot of people around like that, and therefore they've got it in apikoreus, and therefore I can speak Lashon Hara. So he says, nevertheless, says the Chofetz Chaim, so maybe I shouldn't have written this halacha, says the Chofetz Chaim, maybe I shouldn't have written down this halacha, because that's going to bring people, lead them to a mikshol. So he closed the pasuk, which says, Yishorim da'ki Hashem, tzadikim yelchavom, or Rishoyim yikoshlubom. We have to tell the law as it is. We have to tell the public exactly what the halachas are and exactly how they work and what's right and what's wrong. And we have to hope that people will have the siyata nishmaya, that they won't misuse it. So that's the end of his chapter on apikoreus, and it's 8:31. Is the speaker here? The speaker's not here. So let's have a look at the next one. The next page, which is day 70, is about, I skimmed through this very, very quickly. I didn't prepare it for today, so I'll do it together with you until the speaker arrives. In this segment, the Chofetz Chaim discusses the question of Lashon Hara as it relates to Machloikas. So we've got a combination here of two bad effects. We've got the Chofetz Chaim speaking about Lashon Hara, and he's speaking about that in the context of a Machloikas. He says the danger of becoming involved in a dispute is that you don't know which side is the right side. That's the truth, right? There are usually, in most machloikas, there are two sides, and both of them think that they're both absolutely right, and that the other person is absolutely wrong. And that's what happens in Dine Torah as well. The people, if they get as far as a Din Torah, I mean, it's usually things get settled. There are negotiations, there are discussions, etc., etc. But if it actually gets as far as a Din Torah, it's because each side thinks that he is absolutely right and the other guy is absolutely wrong. Yeah? So the Chofetz Chaim says as follows. There are two sides to every story. Not everybody is mekabel that there is another side to the story. So he says that, obviously, in order not to get involved in that, it sounds pretty obvious what he's writing. He writes, ponder the matter carefully in accordance with the laws of the Torah, and only then decide who is the Baal Machlokes. And the Chofetz Chaim says that most people are probably not able to, certainly those people who are involved in the Machlokes, are not able to discern who is right and who is wrong, which is the tzad which is correct, which is the tzad which isn't correct. And therefore, you have to slowly, he says, sift through the thing up, and he says that you should take advice. A person has to consult with a rov, a person has to consult with somebody who is outside the machlokes, somebody who's independent, somebody who's impartial, and try and make sure to find out which side of the machlokes is the right side, which is not easy, obviously. So he says as follows. He says, if clearly you've got any sophic in the matter, you can't get involved. If you're 100% sure that you are right, that one of them is a Baal Machlokes, the Torah allows you to speak Lashon Hara about a Baal Machlokes. That's Mutar al-Pi Halacha. And therefore, he says you're allowed to publicly voice your condemnation of a person, but only if you're doing it lo toyeles. What is the toyeles in this particular case? That you're hoping that with that, you'll be able to quell the machloikas. If you think that by speaking Lashon Hara about one of the Baalei machloikas, when you're convinced that he's the one who's wrong, and you've made inquiries, and you've done your due diligence, and you're sure that one side of the machloikas is wrong, and then you want to speak Lashon Hara about him, then you can do so, but he says, be very careful, because it only has to be l'toyeles. The usual rules of toyeles apply. So he says, the Chofetz Chaim says three additional prerequisites, which are all rules of toyeles. Number one, you have to have accurate first-hand information about the person that you're speaking Lashon Hara about. You have to know for yourself that he's the Baal Machlokes, not that you heard second-hand from someone else, as Pliny is involved in the Machlokes. That wouldn't give you any heter whatsoever to speak. The second one is that, which the Chofetz Chaim has just mentioned, and again the usual rule of toyeles, which is that your kavanah has to be for a good kavanah, not because you've got any grudge against the other person, not because you've got any simcha in the fact that the other person is being denigrated and the people speaking badly about him, etc., but you're doing it only in order to try, as we said before, to quell the machlokes, trying to persuade one side not to become involved in the machlokes or not to continue the machlokes. But if you've got previous animosity and you don't like this person and you've got a certain sort of a hidden satisfaction, a secret agenda whereby you're quite pleased that the other guy is being spoken Lashon Hara about because he's a Baal Machlokes and therefore I can speak against him, then clearly that's not allowed. And then the final thing is obviously that you can't speak publicly about the Baal Machlokes. So we've decided he is a Baal Machlokes. Yeah, if we've decided the person is a Baal Machlokes, and we've decided that he is in the wrong, and we've decided that we're allowed to speak Lashon Hara about him, and we're going to speak Lashon Hara about him in public in order that he should desist from being a Baal Machlokes. Nevertheless, if you've got the opportunity first to speak to him quietly, Beino Levin Atzmoi, if you've got an opportunity that you can somehow or other quieten or quell the Machlokes, if you would speak privately to the person, then, says the Chofetz Chaim, you wouldn't have permission to speak publicly about him.
Started the Tarawee Northwest London Tuesday, Yud Bey Sivan, 18th of June, Reino Rav, Rav Mordechai Yosef Karnofsky, Shlita, Anuchas Hanefesh. This week's Torah is sponsored by Family Reich, Lechet Simchas Mitzvah of Moti Reich, last Shabbos, Yid Rotsen Shizku, Hurobus Kenob Rav Nachas, Menem Echol Yosei Cholefahem, Schus, Hashavuim Va Chayolim, Va Milchoma Shachsu Levotahem, Shalom Bim Heiro.
Morning. Those that are here, those that are listening in or will listen in, the subject is titled Menuchas HaNefesh, which eludes many people. There's no quick answer, no quick fix. Menuchas HaNefesh, peace of mind. It's one of the Kinyonei HaTorah Yishuv, peace of mind. On the other hand, we know that this world is full of nisyonos, trials, tribulations. Things never work straight in life. Get frustrated, things don't work out the way we want. So our avodah is that we have to learn how to cope. Chazal tell us, Shmaitze boi tzilusa, one Megillah, not to learn one needs peace of mind. On the other hand, there's a Chazal, Af chochmosi omdoli, posukin koheles, where Chazal teach us, Torah shalomadti be'af, Torah which I learned not so much when I was angry, when things didn't go straight. That is what stood by. That's the godless of a person. So B'shachan, that Gdoma to one of his swarm in Aviezi says, that the avoid of a person in this world is to have nisyonos. On the other hand, our avodah is to try and see how to cope when things don't work out our way, how to cope and to keep our, not to lose our cool, if you want to use such an expression, not to lose ourselves in a, even in situations where we have to deal with people which are not so easy to deal with, or situations that the Rabbi Shem sends us which are not so easy. Our avodah is to create that Yishuv Adas, even when there are things that don't go our way. Now, in this week's parsha, there's two parshas which the Rabban Shalem gave Klal Yisrael, or trained Klal Yisrael, how to cope, or to have Yishuv Adas. One has to realize that during the 40 years in Midbar, Klal Yisrael were faced with many situations. And the Rabbi Yishlein put things into place to teach us many things. The 40 years of Midbar, that was the Yisrael of Klal Yisrael. To set up Klal Yisrael after Matan Torah. We're just at the end of the week now of Shivas Yom Tashlumin of Shavuos. Some of you are probably saying Tachnun, not saying Tachnun, to Minhogim. Even if we do say Tachnun, it's still Shivas Yom Tashlumin, that if we haven't brought Kabbalas on Yontav itself, we can still bring Kabbalas for the first 7 days after Shavuos. Matan Torah. The first thing was the Parsha of Mon. Mon features in a few places in the Torah, but one of the places in this week's Parsha, Bala Yischa. Lo nitna Torah lo'ich le'amon. Klal Yisrael were given Torah. Le'nit na'Torah lo'ich la'amon. So Rabbi Nebuchai learns, Rabbi Nebuchai is Marich at the beginning of Parshas B'Shalach, where there's one that was the main Parsha of the Mon, that the idea of Mon was to teach Klal Yisrael B'tochen. B'tochen means, as Chavis Havovas defines B'tochen, Menuchas HaNefesh, I've got peace of mind. I don't lose myself, I don't panic. Whatever the situation is, I know I'm secure, I'm in good hands. Chazanish uses a gewaltige Loshen. I'll say over the Loshen, I'll quote the Loshen of the Chazanish, and I'll explain it. Shodish emunose mafigo pachdose. Chazanish is very poetic often. Chazanish is in his Sefer Emunah B'tochen Pei Beis. Shayish emunose, the shayish, the root of his emuna, mafika waters down, dissipates. Pachdos is panic, is fear. when they send us like it gives them the confidence and courage, lahamin, to believe they have shoros hatzola, that there can be a way out. Everything's biyad Hashem. We don't know what will happen. Everything's 50-50. Will the Rebbein Shem do it or won't he do it? We have to know, komadov rachmon latavov, whatever the Rebbein Shem does is l'tayif, balk upon him. That's Chazanish Loshen. Shadish Emunosa Mafika Pachdosai. The Shadish of Ezemunah waters down Mafika as a lot of Ayofik Libai. It stops his panic. What's going to happen? Doctor's prognosis, whatever it should be. When they send us Lo'aymats and gives them the courage and confidence to believe that there is a way out. Le'nit Natay Le'ich La'amon. Yidden lived with the mon. No daigdas hapanosa. They had the time to sit and learn. And they had the yeshivat das to learn, because they knew that every day the Rebbein Shem was going to give them. Without going into the protim of how the mon was given, the mon taught these many lessons in betochen. Over the fact that for 40 years they lived under the Yad Hashem, day by day. Post in this week's parasha, so chana sadogo ashenecha b'mitzayim chinam. We remember the fish that we had to mitzayim free. So Rashi says something which is, first glance is puzzling. Chinam and amitzvahs. We didn't have any mitzvahs. Fish, don't have to shecht it. Don't just take it, kill it, and cook it, fry it, whatever. How you want to eat the fish? Now eat it raw, sushi. But. So what do you mean? Klai Yisrael said chinam and mitzvah, weren't in having mitzvahs. So Mizrahi explains, Levi Elio expounds on this. They didn't have much to eat in Mitzrayim, but whatever they had wasn't linked to their kiyum mitzvahs. In Midbar, every day the mon fell differently. Every day the mon fell according to their level of Yiddishkeit. A tzaddik fell in their houses, ready cooked. For Beinin, they had to go out to the end of the path, and it was raw, but ready to be cooked. For Rosh, they had to go much further, and they had to start grinding it. So every day, they lived and were given mon according to their level. It was a pressure. One day, just imagine the Eid, Achoshev Eid, Grace of Board, with everything, a well known figure. And they saw him walking around the Machne looking for something. So they asked him, what are you looking for, mon? Didn't fall in your house this morning. What happened? That person had done Naveh during the night. Remember him once for Shalom Shvadron, he said he'd probably prefer to say that he's got a Tanis Cholom today, better than having to go and look for his mom. Why did the Benjamin do that? So the Etzim, the Gemara and Yuma, I involved the Gemara, the Kasha, Sholu Talmidov as Rishim Ben Yechoy, the Talmid of Rishim Ben Yechoy asked him, why didn't the month fall once a year? Why did it have to fall every day? So he answered them, Emshel Lecho Moshel, I'll give you a Moshel. There was once a person that was supporting one of his children, and he allocated him funds for the whole year. So there was no contact between the father and child the whole year. The father wanted to have contact. So what did he do? Change the system. You have to come to me every day or every week. Then the child was dependent on the father and had to make contact every day. Kach, Klal Yisrael had some children. The mon, if the mon would have fallen once a year, then they'd have felt. Mistomen would have made their ganze kinnis esayris a few days beforehand to get themselves into a level of tshuva that they should all be zeich to mon in the best possible way. Like this, the mon fell every day, that every day a person was felt dependent on the Rebbein Shem. Being dependent on the Rebbein Shem, living with the Rebbein Shem, being dependent on the Rebbein Shem, that is bitochen. And that creates a sense of security. So on one hand, there's a pressure. In the case of the mon. of a taught Klal Yisrael to be totally dependent on the Rabbeinu Shel Olam. Being dependent on the Rabbeinu Shel Olam gives a person knowing that I'm dependent on the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, knowing I'm biyad Hashem, and after I'm with Tzemarisai, with the Rabbeinu Shel Olam's flock, and the Rabbeinu Shel Olam looks after us. If the Rabbeinu Shel Olam looks after us, then I pasay, we're in good hands, we're in secure hands. So on one hand, it was a pressure, but it taught Klal Yisrael to be totally dependent on the Rabbeinu Shel Olam, and the Rabbeinu Shel Olam cares and looks after each one individually. That was a general lesson of the month. But I'd like to focus on another point in this week's parasha as well. The Torah tells us it's between Revi and Chamishi. The Torah tells us as follows. This was in this week's parasha that the Yidden started traveling. Mishkan was set up with Shredish Nissen. Shredish Iyah was the Golem. And they started moving, they started traveling. Chof Iyah, they started traveling. And the pasuk is very ma'arich. How did they know when to travel? How did they know when to stop? Where to stop? The onon. So the pasuk says as follows. The day that they set up the Mishkan, the onon was there. Chapter 10, pasuk Yud Zayin. If the onon lifted itself up of the oil, then they knew to move. Where the onan stopped, that's where they camped. Al pi Hashem Yisru, al pi Hashem Yachnu. Posse Yud Ches. Then there's five psukim. If the onan was on the Mishkan many days, then they didn't travel. Sometimes the onan was only there a few days. Al pi Hashem Yachnu, al pi Hashem Yisru. Sometimes the onan was there me'erev ad boker. Or yoimon v'layla. Or sometimes you mind 2 days, chodesh yomim, a year. However long the onan was there, yachna yisov, la yisov, apay Hashem yachna, apay Hashem yisov. There's five psukim where the Torah tells us this yisod, that they, whenever the onan stopped, that's where they stopped. Wherever, when the onan moved, they moved. And the Torah is ma'arich, however it should happen. Says the Ramban and Sipona, the Torah is marish to teach us that these scenarios happened. Itaka happened sometimes that the Onan was Yom Mispor, a few days. Sometimes the Onan was there a long time. Sometimes it was Erev Abayker. They camped at night, the next morning they had to travel again. Or sometimes it was 24 hours, Yom of Alayla. Sometimes it was 2 days. Why does the Torah tell us this? The underlying messages are Pi Hashem Yachna, Pi Hashem Yisrael. When the Onan moves, we move, and when the Onan stops, we camp. Why does the Torah tell us this? Says the Ramban and Sipona that many times, Lamoshel, let's say they've been traveling for a long time, we're getting weary from traveling, the Onan stops, oh, Menucha. Stop. The next morning, you have to stop traveling again. Wasn't convenient. They much preferred to stay. Sometimes they decide that just about Yom of a Laila takes you sometimes time to unpack. You just about finish unpacking. After 24 hours, on the moves. Sometimes we're in a place for a long time. They wanted to move already. So all these scenarios happened, and each time it was a case where it wasn't so convenient for them. And the Torah tells us, nevertheless, Klal Yisrael listened. Al pi Hashem Yachna, al pi Hashem Yisrael. Sometimes the camp in the place wasn't so gishmak. Weren't so many conveniences. We find the Moshel, let's say Moron Elim. Kleiokas says in Pasha's Masay that Moron Elim were next to each other. Normally it says Vayisu Vayachnu, Vayisu Vayachnu, Vayisu Vayachnu. In Pasha's Masay it says Vayisu Mi Moro Vayovoyu Elima. They traveled out of, they departed, they left Moro and straight away came to Elim. Because by the time the train pulled out of the station, it was already in the next station. Moro, everything was bitter. Elim, everything was prepared for them. Shtemes Enes Maim, 12 wells of water, Shivim Tamorim, everything that they could hope for. Especially, the Ramban says of them, Parsh B'Shalach, the Shingvem, that was, I think, from Shishim Ibrahim, that it was everything was set up for Klal Yisrael. So why did they go through Morah? The Teretz is that there were lessons to be learnt in each place. It wasn't so convenient at the time. The water was bitter. The Rebbe wanted to teach Klal Yisrael something. So the Ramban and Sipuna say that all these examples are not just examples of what might have happened. The attack happened. And most times it wasn't convenient. So the question is, why did the Rebbe do that? You tell a child to do something and a minute later differently, you get them very confused. What was the idea? Just take the Mickey out of them? Why did the Rancham do that? So Dessler's got a short piece, I think, Michta Milyon Chelik Dalit. The Rancham was trying to train Klal Yisrael to get used to every different matzav. Get used to everything. Things don't always work out your way in life. And we all go through a journey of life. But it's Membe's Masois, other Masois. Some people have to relocate in the same town from one house to another house. Sometimes one town to another town, one country, we relocate. Klal Yisrael, the Rebbe Anshim wanted to train Klal Yisrael to get used to every matzav. To get used to everything. Is convenient, not convenient. Alpi Hashem Yachna, Alpi Hashem Yisrael. So that was, the Rebbe Anshim was using the mitzvah was one major lesson for Klal Yisrael. The mon taught them bitochen, shtadlus, bitochen, all the different yisaidus of the mon. To be dependent on the Rabbein Shalom. This message of the Masois taught Klal Yisrael how to cope. If I think I want to go my way and things don't work out my way, I get very frustrated. I'm not here to do what I want to do. I once heard the Moshe, I think, from Chaim Kaufman, I think he once heard the Moshe as follows. Just imagine you're going down the... You're driving down, you've got to go, let's say you've got to go from London to Bournemouth, you've got to go from London up to Gates, wherever you want to go to. There's diversions, roadblocks. You try one way, I'll take a different route. Nowadays we haven't got this problem with all the sat-nav and waves and everything. But Lemaisa, things don't always work out. I think the journey just often takes longer than we want. We're going here, we have to go the other way. You're just about here, you have to. You're very frustrated. Just imagine a taxi driver is employed by a company and listens on his radio from the control. He starts off in Goldsgien and goes to Stamford Hill. He's just about the edge of Stamford Hill. Tell him, oh, I've got a job back from you, Goldsgien. That can happen backwards and forwards. Does the taxi driver doesn't get frustrated? Why not? What's the difference? The Teretz says he's employed to drive. He's employed to pick up passengers. So son of Gemina, here, there, doesn't get frustrated. I'm not here to do what I want to do. I'm being led, I'm being directed by the Rebbein Shalom. So the more we realize we're not in control, the more we realize we're here to do what the Rebbein Shalom wants. Every morning I wake up, what does the Rebbein Shalom want of me today? Everyone's got his own tafkid in life, in his journey of life. It's actually a posting which is in the game Parshas Kodach. But it's one of the themes in Parshas Bamidbar that all the Levim and Kohenim had their duties to do. Ishal Masoi, Bamidbar, Nosoi, Baloscha, Kodach. The Kohenim had their jobs, the Levim had their jobs. There were two sets of Levim, the Mashoirim and Mashoirim, those that sang in the choirs. Shira of the Levim was part of the Avodas Hamikdash, and there was also the Mashayim, those that looked after the gates. Gersh and Kosim Roy, they each had their own tafkid, what to carry. So Chazal tells if I'm supposed to be singing, I do the gates. That's not my job. Yichai Misa. Hazar Koiv Yom Zola Isavodas, that's not my job. The Chinuch in Parshas Koyach says, I got the Chidush Din. Without going to the halachic implications of it. The Kohenim, there was Avodas HaKohenim. There's four Avodas in every Korban, basic Avodas in the Korban. The Shechita, Kabbalah Saddam, Hilocha, the Zrika. How do they decide who does what? Pious. Like a type of form of a burial. So what happens if it worked out? I was supposed to, I'm a Kohen, and I was given the job of Halacha. Another Kohen had Zrika, and I do the Zrika. Yearly says the Chinuch Yichai Misa. It's not your Avoda. It's Avoda Kechinuch. The pious was Kuvea, what my Avoda is. So I always think to myself that there's a tremendous lesson over here. Mashayrish Ashir, Pshat Zazay, you see very clearly you're not cut out for that. And you're trying to do something you're not cut out for. In the Avodah Sakonim, it could be that yesterday I had Zrika and today I've got Hilocha. I'm cut off everything. But if the Rabbi Shem decided that today that's what I'm supposed to be doing, and you're trying to be someone else and do something else, you can't miss it. So the idea is that every day a person has to think, what does the Rabbi Shem want of me today? And if I'm B'yad Hashem, and I think to myself, what does the Rabbi Shem want of me? I don't get frustrated. I've got peace of mind. Every day, what does that mean? I wake up in the morning, I'm an Eved Hashem, Meida Nifonecha. Shechzata bin Yishmosi, and you're grateful to the Rebbe Shem that we woke up today. What does the Rebbe Shem want of me today? Sometimes it's not, I would perhaps prefer differently. If that's Rotznabe, that's Rotznabe. So the Midbar was the training ground for Klal Yisrael, whether it was the Mon that trained Klal Yisrael. Or is the Masoyas that trained Klal Yisrael that we're on a journey through life? So Ben Chai beginning Masoyas says that before the Geula, Kendra will have to go through these Membeis Masoyas. So whether it's Mamash just as the Geula is coming, or through a course of life, don't know whether it means we'll actually travel the same place in the Midbar that they did. Bakupon, that's part of life. If Hish is Marich in this week's parish, also on this side, when he talks about, he says a similar theme when they get to Masoyas. That just like Yidden came out of Midbar and they came out of Mitzrayim on the way to Eretz Yisrael, so who are Din L'Doiris going out and going through Golas? We've all got our Masoyas. With that, we can understand another Gemara. There's a Gemara on Shabbos, Lamed Aleph on the base. The Gemara says in Shabbos as follows: in Hilchos Shabbos as Halacha, Seisa, if you demolish something, you're Potter. Shabbos, you're makalkel. If it's almanos lifna is, if you demolish in order to be able to build a house, is a rundown house, and you decide I'm going to demolish it and rebuild, then that seis is a tikkun. Seis almanos lifna is chayv. Rabbi Yosi's got the shitter. Seis has to be almanos lifna bim kaimel. That means if I demolish a house and I use the bricks to build somewhere else. And you're not chayv. It has to be almanos lifna bim kaim on the same spot. Frank Dima Akasha, we learn all Melechah Shabbos from Mishkan. Where was the seis in Mishkan that when they disassembled, when they had to travel, they took all their tents apart, and then they moved on, somewhere else and reassembled somewhere else. Frank Dima was not almanos lifna bim kaim. As Frank Dima Akasha. It was seis amnos livna shleibim kaimai. And that was the Mishkan. So why does Rabbi Yosi say that seis is dafka amnos livna shleibim kaimai? As they fit the Gemara Shabbos lam dal from base. And for the Gemara answers the Gemara, the Balta states, since it says al pi Hashem yachna, al pi Hashem yisokim kaimai doma. Since everything was al pi Hashem, kim kaimai doma. What's pshat in the Gemara? So I heard from Chaim Shmulevitz once. If I can't avoid, Chaim gave a moshel at the time. If you'd ask me where my Rebbetzin is, as you're talking that yesterday she was in Bnei Brak, today you shall learn tomorrow she'll be in Haifa. And she took a little child with her. I think it was Nochem's Rebbetzin then at the time. If you ask, where's my child? Next to the mother. The fact that the mother goes from one place and that with the relativity, the child's next to the mother. The mother might move. So I'm asking where my wife is, where the Rebbetzin is. In a different place every day. But the child always remains the same. The child is always in one place, next to its mother. Al pi Hashem yatna, pi Hashem yiso. Our job is to follow the Onan and to be with the Rabbeinu Shalom. The fact that the Onan moves, but our Mokim is next to the Onan. Our Mokim is with the Onan. But the way we explain it goes further than that. Our Mokim is the Rabbeinu, that means we're supposed to follow the Rabbi Nishalelem. We're supposed to be dependent on the Rabbi Nishalelem. And the more we feel dependent on the Rabbi Nishalelem, the more we're secure, the more we've got Yishma Das. Our matzav never changes. I think the Welt sagt, when we say this pasuk during the Hagbos HaTeira, so whichever way you turn the Teira, this way, that way, front, back, sides, otherwise it's sand. Why we use this pasuk, b'shas Hagbos HaTeira, you turn it this way, turn it that way, we follow the Rabbi Nishleinim. So this parasha teaches us, whether it's the parasha of Mon, that made the Klai Yisrael feel we're dependent on the Rabbi Nishleinim. So on one hand it was a pressure, but on the other hand, if they learnt the lesson, then they felt secure. They felt Menuchas HaNefesh, I've got peace of mind. And the Masoi has trained Klai Yisrael for life, and we all go through different journeys in life, whether it's physically we have to move, or we're thrown into different situations every day. The Maisa, end of the day, it's difficult to say that every day something happens, but most days things happen that we get frustrated because things don't work out the way we wanted it. We remember that we're not in charge. We're here to listen to instructions. What does the Rabbi Nishim want of us? We live up Hashem Yacht, up Hashem Yisod, that gives us the Yishuv Adas, that gives us the Menuch Sanevesh. Then, and we're close to the Rabbi Nishim, and we feel dependent on the Rabbi Nishim, according to how much we feel dependent on the Rabbi Nishim. That is how much the Rabbi Nishim looks after us. Beis Yisod, Beis Aaron, Yashem, Bitchuv Hashem, the more we've got Bitoch, the more we feel dependent on the Rabbi Nishim. To that extent, the Rabbi Nishim is Ezra Maginim Hu, so we should all be Zeicher. On one hand, that is life. It's not a bed of roses. Life is not easy. And we hear the Amnis Shonis in life. It's Tzad Sheni, if we learn to cope, and we learn to have this Yishav Adas, then the Mitzvah Hashem will take out the Yishav Adas to be able to cope with life. But we should take a Zeicher to come to the Amnucho and Anachl in Yishalayim once and for all forever.